This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Need to put the audio on from here. No, maybe it's okay. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala abdillahi wa rasulih. Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. So we've moved on to the tafsir of Surah At-Tariq. Surah At-Tariq is, as Ibn Kathir, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa hiya makkiyah. It is a surah which was revealed in the time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Meccan period, the time when he was living in Mecca sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The surah begins وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ. And just before we begin, we just make a note that today's class is going to be a little bit short because we have an appointment at 8 o'clock UK time. So it's going to be about half an hour, the class today. It won't be too long. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ. The wow here, as we've covered many times, is a qasam. Allah is swearing an oath. And we have also covered many times that as for human beings, our oaths must be by Allah. We can only say Wallahi, Watallahi, Warabbil Ka'ba. Like the Prophet ﷺ used to say, Walladhi nafsi biyadih, and so on. All of this is swearing by Allah. But as for Allah Azza wa Jal, He swears by whatever He wants from His creation. But everything that He swears by is something important. And that's a principle we can take, that the reason that Allah swears by something is to highlight its importance to us, how important it is. So here Allah Azza wa Jal swears by two things. Wasama, He swears by the heavens. And He swears by At-Tariq. Now, the word Tariq, generally speaking, in the Arabic language, is something which appears or comes at night. And it doesn't relate to what we now say, Taraq al-Bab, knocking on the door. That's not really a usage that is found in classical Arabic. Tariq is to turn up at night, like in the poetry of Antara ibn Shaddad. Antara is one of the poets of Jahiliyyah, one of the famous Arab poets, whose poetry was hung on the Kaaba. And we know that the poetry of Jahiliyyah is important to understand the Quran generally, because through this poetry you can understand the language that was used by the Arabs when the Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Antara, just to highlight the word Tariq, he said in some of his poetry, وَلَيْتَ خَيَالًا مِنْكِ يَا عَبْلَ طَارِقٌ يَرَى فَيْضَ جَفْنِي بِالدُّمُوعِ السَّوَاكِبِ. To tell his story, a little bit about his story, by the way, it's interesting, to be honest, if you have time, to read his biography, Antara ibn Shaddad. He was a slave. He was actually, his father was a noble man from the chieftains of the Arabs. His father was a chief, very, very high status in his tribe. And he had an African slave. And she gave birth to a child, which he didn't take as his child, who was Antara. And Antara, of course, resembled his mother, so he used to suffer a great deal of racism. They used to, you know, use all kind of racial slurs for him. They used to abuse him. But he had one thing in his favor. He was extremely good in battle. Very, very, like, he was a warrior. Like, sometimes single-handedly, his tribe was being, you know, killed, slaughtered, and he would single-handedly come and just, you know, get rid of everybody. So he has a very interesting story, and he has very interesting poetry as well. But the point of this line of poetry was actually that, like many of the poets, he was in love with a girl, and this girl, she was his cousin, and she couldn't marry him because of his status, because he was a slave, and because his mother was an African slave, and so on. So he said, وَلَيْتَ خَيَالًا مِنْكِ يَا عَبْلَ طَارِقٌ. He said, I wish that a vision or abla of you would come to me at night. And that's what we want. The word tariq means to appear at night. Yara fayda jafni bid-dumu' as-sawakibi. I wish that a vision of you would come at night and see the floods of tears pouring from my eyes. Here we understand, and the reason I brought this is I wanted to really highlight that the word tariq in the Arabic language is used for something that comes at night. And that's why even in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an yatruqa ar-rajulu ahlahu turuqan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade a man to come as a tariq to his family. What does it mean as a tariq? He's coming from traveling and he turns up in the middle of the night and his family doesn't know that he's going to come. And there are many reasons for that, but they cannot prepare. He might see, this, like the scholars say, he might see from his family something which he doesn't like, because they're not expecting him, they're not ready, and he turns up in the middle of the night. So the Prophet ﷺ forbade a man from أن يطرق الرجل أهله طروقا. He turns up as a tariq at night. And in the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِلَّا طَارِقًا يَطْرُقُ بِخَيْرٍ يَا رَحْمَنٍ. That we seek refuge with the perfect words of Allah from everything that comes at night, shayateen, bad dreams, you know, thieves, robbers, anything that comes at night, إِلَّا طَارِقًا يَتْرُقُ بِخَيْرٍ, except for someone who comes at night with good. In the hadith, the dua which starts, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من كل what's that dua? It's gone from my mind. Not that one. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات التي لا يجاوزهن بر ولا فاجر من شر ما خلق وبرأ وذر ومن شر ما ينزل من السماء ومن شر ما يعرج فيها ومن شر ما ذرأ في الأرض ومن شر ما يخرج منها ومن شر فتن الليل والنهار ومن شر كل طارق إلا طارقا يطرق بخير يا رحمن. That's the dua I was thinking of. So in that you ask Allah to keep you safe from everything that comes at night, every tariq that comes at night, except for a tariq, the one who comes at night with good. So this is the word tariq in the language of the Arabs. And we need to understand this because the Quran came in the language of the Arabs. And that's why they say that you cannot make tafsir of the Quran. And what we're doing here is we're reading a book of tafsir, but you can't be the one to write that book unless you have comprehensive knowledge of the language of the Arabs that was used in their poetry when the Quran was revealed, because that's the language the Quran came with. And that's the reason I say that is, you might hear some people now making tafsir of this surah where they bring a different word for at-tariq, or a different understanding. And some of them said that, you know, science has found a star that makes a knocking sound and things like that, that this star, it makes a knocking sound. But this word taraka, to mean knocking, was not known by the Arabs when the Quran was revealed. So this is not the right, you can't make tafsir like that. You have to make tafsir in the way that it was understood by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the Sahaba, by the Arabs, who this was their language, and this is what they knew when the Quran was, when they heard the ayat of the Quran. And that's why all of the scholars of tafsir, whether they were scholars of tafsir or scholars of language or scholars who made tafsir in light of the language, and they were focused on the language and the meaning of the words, all of them said that the tariq is the one who comes at night. Now here, the interesting thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ مَا الطَّارِقِ. What will make you know what a tariq is? And then Allah says, النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ. A najm, a star, which is thaqib. Thaqib, the scholars of tafsir, they had different statements about it. But they said the word Thaqib means very bright or shining, extremely bright, has a lot of light. These are all, you know, all of the meanings of Thaqib come around this, bright and shining. So here what we have is an example of tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an. The tafsir of the Qur'an with the Qur'an. Allah is making tafsir of the Qur'an inside of the Qur'an. And this, in a general sense, is the strongest and the best form of tafsir. And there are many. We've said tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an, tafsir al-Qur'an bis-Sunnah, tafsir al-Qur'an bi-Aqwal al-Sahaba, tafsir al-Qur'an bi-Aqwal al-Tabi'een. There are many different types of tafsir, sources of tafsir. But the strongest of them all is the tafsir of the Qur'an that comes from the Qur'an itself. However, that tafsir can be divided into two types. And there are two types of tafsir of the Qur'an with the Qur'an. One is a tafsir which is directly connected like this. And this, there is no, it is not permissible for anyone to bring their opinion about it. And you take it as Allah said, because there is no room for anyone's opinion or anyone's judgment. Because Allah said, what is a tariq? It is a najm thaqib. That's it, finished. There is no discussion about it. But there is another kind of tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an, where what happens is the scholar of tafsir sees a connection between one ayah and another ayah elsewhere. And they might be right about that connection and they might be wrong about that connection. So they see an ayah and they understand that Allah has explained the meaning of that ayah somewhere else in the Quran. But they may be right about that, the link, and they might be wrong about it. They might not have got the link correct. So that is, yes, that is also tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an, but this is an example where there, it is possible for the scholar of tafsir to make a judgment, and it's possible for them to be wrong, where they connect one ayah to another ayah in the Qur'an because they understood that Allah is explaining one part of the Qur'an with something else. And these people can make a mistake, like the Sahaba. They made a mistake in the tafsir of the ayah, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمُ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ, Surah Al-An'am. They made a mistake in the tafsir of the ayah. They said, O Messenger of Allah, which of us does not oppress themselves? So from the ayah, they understood the word dhulm means ظلم النفس فمنهم ظالم لنفسه. And they understood that the ayah that talks about oppressing yourself explains this ayah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, it's not like you think. You made a mistake. You are wrong in this. The tafsir of this ayah is not like you thought it was. So the Sahaba, what they understood is that the word ظلم in the ayah, oppression, it means ظلم النفس فمنهم ظالم لنفسه, that it means oppressing yourself. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, it's not that. What the ayah means is what Luqman said to his son, يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, that the ظلم in the ayah means shirk. It means making a partner with Allah. And the tafsir is from Surah Luqman, not from the ayah that you thought the tafsir was from. So this is an example of tafsir of the Qur'an with the Qur'an, where the scholar of tafsir, in this case the Sahaba who were listening to the ayah, they connected the ayah to another ayah, but they didn't connect it correctly, and the Prophet ﷺ corrected them and told them, it's not this ayah, it's another ayah. So you said that this ayah explains this one, but it's not that ayah, it's another ayah. So that can happen. And it can happen later on among the scholars of tafsir who wrote about tafsir. It can happen that they connected one ayah to another ayah in another place in the Quran, and they connected it incorrectly. But here, It's not incorrect, because here it's Allah is directly explaining to you, this is what At-Tariq is. This is what it means here. What it means is An-Najmu Thaqib. It means An-Najmu Thaqib, a bright or the bright shining, the bright shining star. Or the star that burns. I think Mujahid, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said the star that burns brightly. And the star that shines, the star that is bright. Ibn Abbas, he said the bright star, the star that has a lot of light, and so on. So here, there is now an area where the scholars of tafsir, they discussed. So they didn't discuss the meaning of the ayah. No one is allowed to discuss. No one is allowed to debate. Because Allah says clearly, this is what the ayah means. But from there they discussed, is the meaning one particular star, or is every star that comes out bright in the night sky and disappears in the day, is that what is meant? Because the word an-najm could mean a particular star, meaning it's one particular exact star in the sky. And it could be that it means all of the stars for which you can call them Tariq and Thaqib. So the star you can call Tariq is the star that you can see at the night, but you can't see it during the day. The star you can see during the night, but you can't see it during the day. So that obviously excludes the sun and so on. This is the star that you can see in the nighttime and you can't see in the daytime, because this is what the meaning of Tariq. And it has to be Thaqib, bright and shining and burning bright, because that is what the word Allah described it as, An-Najmu Thaqib. But many of the scholars of tafsir, and this was the opinion of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, is that it doesn't mean one particular star. That it means this particular, like some of them said, it means a Thuraya. I can't remember what the English name for Thuraya is, but it has an English name, I just can't remember what it is. It has a Latin name for it. I'll find it quickly. Okay, I found it and I can't pronounce it. Okay. Pleiades, also known as the Seven Sisters. This is what they call a Thuraya. So some of them said it is this star. But to me, and Allah knows best, and this was the opinion of Ibn Qayyim, that it's not a particular star, but every star that shines brightly in the night sky, and every star that comes out at night, but you can't see it during the day. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, he brought the Jawab al-Qasam, the reason for which the oath was made. Because remember, in every time we have an oath, we have the reason behind the oath. Like, for example, in our speech, if I was to say, for example, Wallahi, Islam is the truth. So this statement, Islam is the truth, that's the reason for which I said Wallahi. That's what we call Jawab al-Qasam, right? The reason for which you swore an oath. So here, what is the sentence which is the reason for which Allah swore this oath by the sky? And the sky is, I mean, something amazing, Wallah. Like I remember in Mecca, and I'm not sure if they still have it these days, because it's been a while since we went because of the restrictions, but there was a museum, I'm sure it's still there, in the clock tower in Mecca, that shows you about the universe. And you can see a lot about the different stars and the galaxies and the heavens, and subhanAllah, it's very interesting. But wallah, when you go there, it really makes you appreciate why Allah Azza wa Jal swore by the heavens. Because you see how huge, just the sama' dunya, remember that every place we see the stars, This is as-sama' dunya, the lowest heaven. There are seven heavens. The lowest heaven is the one that has the stars in it. So it seems, and Allah knows best, that our entire universe of galaxies and stars is as-sama' dunya. It's the lowest heaven. You imagine how seven heavens above, tibaqan, one above each other, and the lowest heaven, all of these universe, galaxies and stars as far as you can see, and millions and millions of years between each star. It's, wallah, you see, you see why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by as-sama, and why He swore by at-tariq, the bright shining stars. And then these tiny stars that you see in the sky, when they show you what they look like inside of a telescope, and they're like bigger than the sun and brighter than the sun, and they show us just tiny, tiny little stars that Allah has decorated the sky with them. Allah has decorated the sky. وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا. We have decorated the lowest heaven بِمَصَابِيحِ, with lamps, with stars. So subhanAllah, really you can see why it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by the heavens, and the greatness of the heavens. And when you see the greatness of the heavens, what does it do? It leads you to understand the greatness of the Creator. Because you can't imagine Allah, right? You can't imagine Allah. But when you look at the greatness of what Allah created, Al-Khalq, it shows you Azama, Azamatul Khaliq, the greatness of the Creator. And then when you think about how great the Arsh is in comparison to the heavens, that all of the seven heavens, and we said the lowest heaven, it appears to be this entire universe is the lowest heaven, and Allah knows best. Then there are seven heavens, and the seven heavens in comparison to the footstool is like a ring in the middle of the desert. And the footstool in comparison to the throne is like a ring in the middle of the desert. Wallahu Akbar, and Allah is greater than all of that. So you can't imagine Allah, you can only imagine the greatness of Allah's creation to realize how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So the answer, or the reason for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore this oath, إِن كُلُّ نَفْسٍ لَمَّا عَلَيْهَا حَافِظٍ. There are two qira'at here. There are two. We don't always mention the qira'at. We don't mention the different ways of reciting the Qur'an. But this is the qira'at of Asim and Hamza and Ibn Amir, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember that correctly. And this, they read lamma, in kullu nafsin lamma alayha hafidh. As for the majority, and that's other than Asim and Hamza and Ibn Amir, they read in kullu nafsin lama alayha hafidh. And the meaning is different. Even though, generally in terms of translation, it's a little bit difficult to explain how the meaning is different, but the meaning is different. Now the interesting thing here is, just to bear in mind, if you have two different ways of reading the Qur'an that bring a different meaning, how do you approach them in terms of tafsir? Which one do you make tafsir of? So you have two ways of reading the Qur'an that bring a completely different meaning. Because sometimes it's not a different meaning. And sometimes the meaning is, not different. It's not hugely different. And sometimes the meaning is very different. So when the meaning is different, which one do you make tafsir of? The answer is both. You treat them as two separate ayat, because both were revealed by Allah. So you treat them as, this is what Allah said, and this is what Allah said. And the tafsir of this qira'ah is like this, and this qira'ah is like that. So you make tafsir of each one separately from the other one. And each one has a correct tafsir, but they might not be the same. Here, the meaning is not very, very different, and it's probably difficult to explain in English. But what we can do is bring it all together, just as we conclude, because we just have another couple of minutes. We can just kind of bring it together and say that there are a couple of meanings, probably three meanings, that we want to focus on here. The first is that every soul has a hafiz, someone that is protecting them. Now here, some of the scholars of tafsir, they said the Hafiz is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them. But most of them said the meaning of Hafiz here is an angel. And Ibn Kathir, he brought the ayah, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, that you have angels in front of you and behind you that protect you from the command of Allah. Now here, the Hafiz, what is the, if it's the angel, what is the angel protecting here? Two mainstream opinions. One is that the angel is protecting you from the qadr of Allah, meaning the angel is only allowing to happen to you what Allah has decreed. So all of the things that could happen to you, the angel is only allowing the one to actually happen that Allah has decreed. So for example, this coronavirus is going around, spreading around to all these different people. But there are some people Allah has decreed to catch it, and some people Allah has not decreed to catch it. So there is an angel that is stopping this from coming, from affecting you or from coming into you, because Allah has not decreed it to happen. Now that doesn't mean that we as Muslims, by the way, don't believe in transmission of disease and whatever. But all of it is, those things are worldly causes. But in reality, it's Allah who's in control, right? It's Allah who decides ultimately whether something, and that's why you have four people in a room and you have one person gets it and one person, you know, three people don't, or three people get it and one person doesn't, and they're all in the same place. Because ultimately it's in the hands of Allah. So there is an angel that is stopping things from happening to you. The other way of seeing it is the angels that write down your deeds. Kiraman, katibin, ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. They are noble scribes and they are hafiz. They're recording and preserving your deeds. We'll leave it there, inshallah ta'ala, because we have an appointment that we have to make for 8 o'clock. So we'll stop there, inshallah ta'ala, but we'll resume bi-idhnillahi ta'ala next week. And that's what Allah Azza wa Jalla made easy for me to mention. I won't have any time for questions tonight, but we can leave the questions for next week, inshallah ta'ala. That's what Allah made easy for me to mention. Allah knows best. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.